are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, my friends, it's September 29th, 2024. It's a very special feast day, but before we even begin the program, let us pray for all our brothers and sisters in the South who have suffered from the horrendous damage of Hurricane Helene. So let us begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we offer up all those who are missing, the family members who are lost, the families who are without shelter, food, water, homes at all. Lord Jesus, we pray that we really pray with all of our hearts for shelter to come, for food to be provided, and for water to be provided, and for the loved ones to be found, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you in advance for all that you're doing. We thank you and praise you that you have a master plan for all this devastation. We pray, Jesus, for a miracle that you place your heavenly love and mercy upon all those who are suffering. Jesus, we thank you and praise you, and we believe, Lord Jesus, that you will make good out of all this devastation. We pray for all those who've lost loved ones, Jesus, who were swept away in the storms. And Jesus, we pray for their broken hearts. We praise you and thank you, Lord Jesus. And we ask that you, that the first responders find their bodies. Lord Jesus, what a heartache. Father God, we thank you and praise you for everything, no matter what. And we ask for your divine mercy in your heavenly kingdom for the heartache that is dispelled throughout the South this holy day. In your name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You know, it's a little difficult to even go on the air when one sees the devastation that's in the South. You know, we saw a football game here in Philadelphia with the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. And I said to my husband, how can we even be watching something like this when there's devastation and flooding and bridges out and people are hungry and they've lost their homes? There's just something ironically wrong with all this, or maybe it's right. I don't know. If I were live in the studio, I would ask for your opinion. But let us never forget the devastation that's happened down there. Let us never forget the job that the Red Cross is doing, Catholic Charities, all the municipal services. And let us remember to keep all those people who are trying to turn the electric back on, trying to rebuild bridges or give food or clothing to those who have lost everything. Please, let's put all of our wants and desires aside today and pray for all those who've lost everything. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friends, today is the feast, oddly enough, of St. Jerome, who many of you know, and I'm not dedicating the program to St. Jerome. He's a doctor of the church, and he's a patron saint, as many of you know, of biblical scholars and students and even archaeologists and translators. We could do a whole program on St. Jerome, but today, in prayer, I felt quite strongly that we should do it on St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Now, in my research and in all the years on radio and doing retreats, I learned so much about the archangels and the angels and the cherubim. But I wanted to share with you some really important things today to remember. And also to teach all of us about the miscommunication by New Age of what angels are. So just take it easy, sit back in your chair. If you're driving, listen carefully. So what are angels? Now they're messengers from God who frequently appear in sacred scripture. Many people think, oh no, they only appear in, for example, the book of Tobit or one other place, but they frequently appear in sacred scripture. Now for Saint Michael, many of us know and pray to Saint Michael. He appears in the book of Daniel and Daniel's vision as the great prince who defends Israel against its enemies. Did you know that? And in the book of Revelation, he leads God's armies to final victory over the forces of evil. See, devotion to Michael, it's the oldest angelic devotion, which started in the 4th century. And he is, again, one of our chief princes. Now remember, after Mass, many of us pray the St. Michael prayer for protection. Now, I know there are a lot of parishes throughout the United States who are not praying this, but I do pray that all will come on board to once again pray the prayer to St. Michael after Mass. Now, who in the world is Gabriel? Who is the Archangel Gabriel? He appeared in Daniel's vision too. Did you know that? Gabriel appeared in Daniel's vision too. He announced Michael's role in God's plan. That's right. And his best known appearance is an encounter with a young Jewish woman named Mary, who said yes to be the mother of Jesus. Now, many of us know that story of the angel Gabriel appearing to her. But he plays a very important role in our history. Now, also Raphael in the Old Testament and in the story of Tobit, he guided Tobit's son, Tobiah, leading him to marry Sarah. Did you know that? Have you ever read that? The healing of Tobit's blindness. Tobit was blind. And the restoration of family fortune. So Raphael is very, very important. So each archangel performs a different mission in sacred scripture. So Michael protects. Now, many of our police pray to St. Michael, radiologists, first responders. But St. Michael is known as the great protector. St. Gabriel is known as the announcer, because he is the patron saint of communications, and of course, he is the one that announced to the Blessed Mother that she would be the mother of Jesus. And Raphael, well, he guides. He's the patron of the blind and for travelers. Did you know that? Many don't know that. So let's talk about St. Michael first, my friends. Let's talk about him a little bit. Now, his name, Michael, is a battle cry. It's a shield and a weapon. He's a warrior angel in any struggle we may have. And he's a great defender of the church on earth. He's a great defender of the church on earth. Nearly every page of sacred scripture testifies to the existence of angels and archangels. I know for a fact that many people over the years think that angels and archangels are just in a few of the books of the Bible, but they're throughout the Bible. And it's important, if you're listening to this program, that maybe you take some time tonight and research this. Now, every page, remember, of sacred scripture testifies to the existence of angels and archangels. They are, my friends, messengers of light. Now, Saint Clement once said, "Let us look carefully at the whole host of his angels. They stand ready to serve his will. Should not we treat them like New Age spirits?" No, we should not. We should not treat them like New Age spirits, flitting around and bringing us energy. Now, I want to bring that up because we could do 100 programs on angels. And there are some amazing authors out there who have written books on angels. But my friends, if you go into any specialty shop, you'll see angels and you'll hear about them flitting around and the fairy angels and all kinds of nonsense that really is New Age. And it was brought about by New Age. Now, there's a huge market which has branded angels as spirits who help us find the divine spirit within us. Throw this out of your heart, mind, and soul. Throw it out right now. Again, there's a huge branded market which has angels as spirits who help us find the divine spirit within. Nonsense. Giving us, for example, the winning lottery number when you go up to play the lottery, or answers to a test, etc. Run from this perception. And if it's been beaten into your head by commercials or things like that, I ask that you please, please, if you have nieces, nephews, grandchildren who say, I'm praying to my guardian angel to find the spirit within, to find that winning lottery number, to find the answers to the test. This is not from God. This is not the God who created the angels for us. This is not the angels in the sacred scriptures. Now, Lucifer was a fallen angel. All of us know that. He thrived on pride. I described this story to someone I know within the last month about how pride brought down Lucifer. He was a good angel, and the sin of pride brought him down. So he always sows disunity. He's always angry with God and others. So what in the world is this pride? It takes the form of us demanding something, what we want, on our own terms. It's built on lies, illusions, deception. It's very, very subtle, and we need to be aware and sensitized to it. Now, we hear the holy angels assist us, protect and guard us. Did you know that? Here on earth, the holy angels assist us, protect us, and guard us. And did you know angels help us to rely on the providence of God, not on the winning lottery ticket, not on the answers to test. And they bring us goodness, guarding us from evil. That's right. They guard us from evil. Now, angels count only on the Son of God. They don't count on anything else but the Son of God. They're God's breakout team, freeing us from all that is dark and evil, which I just described with Lucifer. Now, God sends angels ahead of him. Yes, he does. He sends angels ahead of him to make ready his way, and that he fulfills that which his messengers announce. Look this up, if you have a pencil, Isaiah 44, verse 26. St. Thomas Aquinas, one of my favorite, as you all know, using Psalm 104, I want you to look that up after the program ends, described angels as pure spirits, not spirits full of pride, pure spirits. Quote from Psalm 104, verse 4, you make the winds your messengers. See, the angels are intellectual creatures. They know the depths of the glory of God and his plan of divine providence in our lives. Now, what I really want to focus on, most of us pretty much know what angels are, but we get caught up in this ridiculous branding of the fairy tale angels. that float around and give us lottery numbers and give us test scores and give us our wants and needs. And, you know, we give more attention to those angels, and they're not from God, than to God. So let's avoid New Age angels. Now, how do we do that? Now, you may not even know you have some type of attraction to New Age angels in your family, in your home. So if you've attended or you know someone that's attended workshops on New Age angels, so that would be the power of angels, something that's outside your church. That's outside your church. Angel cards. This was new to me. I had never heard of this. Angel cards that are similar to horoscopes. That's right. There are such things as angel cards, and they're similar to horoscopes. Number three, there are people who claim they connect you with your angel. We see them on TV. We read about them. They're on podcasts. Oh, they're going to give you the name of your angel, and they're going to connect you with your angel. They are frauds. They're frauds and not from God. So New Agers believe angels are doorways into the spirit world. Did you know that? New Agers, very dangerous. They believe angels are doorways into the spirit world. They believe angels can help people elevate their personal awareness. And unfortunately, some of this is practiced in our healthcare facilities throughout the world. They believe angels are energy. They bring us energy. Does that sound familiar to any of us? They believe angels can bring us energy. And they call on spirit guides, which is one of the most dangerous occult callings that we could embrace. And that's a whole program with Susan Brinkman that we'll have in the coming month. So I want to say it again, because this is very popular in many areas of the world. New Age religion and occultism has infiltrated our churches, our families, our spiritualities. People are conducting workshops. They're handing out and selling angel cards that are similar to horoscopes. And there are people who claim they can connect you with your angel and give you your angel's name. This happened to me probably 20 some years ago. Someone saying, I know the name of your angel. And this was at a prayer group. And I remember being pretty naive at that time, thinking, no, it's probably 30 years ago. Really? You know the name of my angel? Well, that was just a false moment. And thank God that he led me away from this person. But they were pretty popular, by the way, back then in the prayer group. They were praying over people, giving people their angel names. And also divination tools. You've all heard of divination tools. That's a whole other program that we'll do with Susan Brinkman. But here's another biggie. Karma cleansing. That's right, karma. So how many of us have heard what goes around comes around and karma's going to get you? Well, karma is Buddhism and it is not Christian. And we do not pray that karma go get them. We do not pray for revenge. So there is something called karma cleansing. Stay away from it with everything and all that you have. And angels do not bring us energy. They do not bring us energy. And it's such a fallacy. See, people are so hungry and so vulnerable for answers. All of us are hungry for answers in our lives, for our suffering, for what's going on in the world, that we fall victim to strong-willed people on television, for example, for podcasts that are not from God. We have to stay close to the sacred scriptures. must stay close to the sacred scriptures, because in doing so, you will see that you will know, you will have the discernment that something is of God or not of God. Now, I want to recommend a wonderful book by a Philadelphia pastor named Reverend Monsignor J. Brian Bransfield called Angels, Our Guardians in Spiritual Battle. Now, this is an excellent book, and you can obtain it through our Sunday Visitor. If you have any questions about angels, the good angels, the bad angels. So he does a great dissertation on angels, the good and the bad. What I shared with you from New Age is a lot of it is from New Age research from Catholic authors and the church. And we just a lot of experience and people from retreats who are giving Catholic retreats, by the way, who are messing around with karma cleansing and spirit guides and all this stuff that is not from God. It is from the bad guy. Because whenever there is disunity and there is a lack of focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, run, run as fast as you can. Now, the good angels seek to motivate us to go to the sacraments and to read the sacred scriptures. Did you know that? You're not going to be looking at these angel cards that are like horoscopes. I don't even know where they sell them. Probably other parts of the country. I'm not quite sure. And I've never seen one, but I've heard about them. Excuse me. They want to preserve us from evil and to free us from sin. Good angels. Now, his rejection of God is a kind of anti-confession before God. That's right. It's an anti-confession before God. Now, there are a few things the devil hates more than the sacrament of penance. Take a guess. Did you know he hates the sacrament of penance? Why? Because if I'm going to teach you about angels, you need to know about Lucifer and how he fools you into thinking that some of this is through good angels when it's not. Now, the devil knows that in confession, everything is brought into the brilliant light of God's unending truth. And when we avail ourselves of this sacrament of reconciliation, even before it is a confession of all of our sins, it's a confession of our faith in God to forgive our sins. Oh, the bad guy cannot stand this. The bad angels cannot stand this. It's a confession of our faith and all the beautiful truths, my friends, that flow from the incarnation. And this is why the devil never ceases to try to talk people out of going to confession. I see this all the time. I hear this all the time from friends and family. I'm going to confession. Oh, you know, a ball game came up. Oh, I have to go shopping. I have to pick up a prescription at the pharmacy. Every excuse in the book. Now, this is why the devil never ceases to try to talk you out of going to confession. And if he sees that he cannot prevent someone from going to confession, he attempts to get you to approach confession out of self-love. That's right, self-love. Rather than love of God. I'm going to say that again. Out of self-love rather than love of God. You see, humility horrifies the devil. Oh, absolutely horrifies him. And the humility necessary to go to confession absolutely terrifies him. Did you know that? It's not just you going because out of a customary thing. Well, I need to go 5 Hail Marys. I disobeyed my mom and dad. That's how I was pretty much raised. You would go with your rote sins. And we really didn't have an awareness of the power of that sacrament. I didn't until I was in my 20s. So the devil watches you. Yep. So do the good angels. So do the good angels. Now, Saint Teresa of Avila said that the devil will look to see who it is to whom His Majesty shows particular love. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He takes note when the person who's been away from confession takes a second look at the confessional. Oh, I don't know. I don't need to go to confession. I didn't do really anything. I just gossiped a little bit about my neighbor or my friend. I don't need to go. How many of us do that? He will remind us of a dozen other busy things we have to do instead of the email we have to answer, the phone call, the drugstore visit, the ball game. Does this sound familiar to any of us? It does to me. Every excuse in the book is used to keep us from confession. The good angels and the Lord Jesus want us to go to confession as frequently as possible. So one of the devil's greatest pseudo victories at this age, guess what it is? The sidelining of confession. That's right. We don't need to go to confession. We didn't shoot somebody. We didn't commit mortal sin. We weren't adulterous. We didn't watch porn. We didn't do anything bad. We just stayed home. We minded our own business. We went to our jobs. We raised our families. That's right. That's one of the great tricks of the bad guy. He sidelines confession. He attacks confession because he wants to attack the mass. That's right. The mass. That's the biggest attack, isn't it? See, this all leads back to the good angels and the bad angels. So even though the evil angels make uproar when we decide to go to confession, the good angels are at work too. That's the good news today. The good angels are at work too. They prompt us in repeating our desire to go to confession. There's something in you that says, I need to go to confession. Oh, I can go to the store next week, or I can check this email next week or tomorrow. Now, the good angels help us to avoid worry and concern, and they inspire us to look at the forgiveness we'll receive in confession, which is so important. And the good angels will prompt us in our mind the memory of the key sacred scripture passages or verses or even hymns that comfort and keep us close to Christ. We should speak to the good angels when we decide to go to confession and ask their help and protection. They know how to untangle the devil's disruptions and strengthen our determination and resolve. That's right. They know how to do it if we ask them. Now, in a few minutes after the commercial break, I'll be talking about the good angels on the altar at Mass and how they accompany us and the power of the chaplet of Saint Michael every day in preparing our sacred journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of Saint Michael, Saint Gabriel, Saint Raphael, in working and walking with us. It's a whole other 5 hours of programming, my friends. There is so much to share. There's so much to uncover. And I can't wait to share some of the new things that have evolved in the writings of some great, great Catholic authors, evangelical authors, and all those who want us to grow in love with Jesus. So my friends, stay tuned. After this commercial break, I'll be back and we have more to share on angels.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends, to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm so happy to be with you today as we discuss angels, because this is the Feast of the Archangel. So Michael, Gabriel, and St. Raphael. But I also wanted to bring up, guess what's coming up? October 14th, the Tallamore Country Club, the special In His Sign Catholic Radio Network golf outing. You need to be there. It's in Ambler, Pennsylvania. I've never been there, but I heard it's beautiful. They're looking for sponsors, silent auction items. And if you don't even golf, come to the dinner, pay to come to the dinner, and you're supporting this amazing apostolate, which is sustained basically on two fundraisers a year. And we are all, as broadcasters, not paid. We're volunteers. And there's only one paid administrator. So this pays the bills of the radio airtime. So you can't beat what you get at this amazing golf outing. So even if you're not a really good golfer, gather some friends up, or maybe you're a one-off and they'll pair you up with somebody. October 14th at Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. They're looking for sponsors, maybe of a hole, of a beverage cart, or something pertaining to the golf outing. The silent auction, if you have a special basket or a shore house or mountain house that you'd like to donate, or come to the dinner. Just come to the dinner and participate with all these wonderful people. Call 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, and ask for Maureen, and she'll be glad to help you. Well, my friends, we're back to talking about angels. So I highly recommend the book, Angels, Our Guardians in Spiritual Battle, by Reverend Monsignor J. Brian Bransfield. And if you really want to know and explore angels, I highly recommend this. It's printed by our Sunday Visitor. But I also wanted you to know there's a whole plethora of books on angels, New Age angels, and many Catholics are involved in this. So it's time to put up the stop sign and say enough. So first we need to delve into why the devil fears Mass. Well, it's obvious. The devil fears the Mass, especially when we attend daily Mass. Oh, my goodness, that's the biggest. And at Mass, we adore the Lord and participate in his saving redemption. Now, if I hope and pray all of you who are listening have the Catholic Catechism. Now, the Catechism reminds us that victory over the prince of this world was won once and for all at the hour when Jesus freely gave himself up to death to give us his life. Now, what in the world? You know, how many times do we hear kids say, or even adults, "I'm so bored. I'm so bored at Mass." Well, what are you giving to participate in Mass? The Mass is our sharing in Christ's victory. And during Mass, we also join with the angels. That's right. The altar is surrounded with angels. The saints tell us that in giving praise to God, and they protect us. At Mass and in Eucharistic adoration, we remain with Christ in his passion. And at Mass, we also pray together, my friends, with the whole church for deliverance from evil when we pray the Our Father together. Did you know that? We take for granted the power of a Holy Mass, don't we? Or the sacraments. We take it for granted because it becomes rote. You know, we just think, oh, it's routine. I have to go to Mass. I have to go to confession. But if you tap into the power of these sacraments, your life will change. Now, the holy angels remind us of the obligation and even the desire to go to Mass. We need to pray for the desire to go to Mass. Now, the good angels summon us from our memory to simple faith of being close to God. They use examples from the lives of the saints and even the good example of people we know who go to Mass to prompt us to step closer to the mystery of Jesus and the sacrifice of Calvary. There is an angel set over every church building. Did you know that? Think about this. There is an angel set from heaven over every church building and every altar to protect it as a heavenly guardian for the community and to offer worship. And as we enter the church building, especially if you're going to Mass tomorrow or this weekend, I want you to be aware and greet the angel of that sanctuary and invite their intercession. That's right. There is a church. Your church has an angel assigned to it and the altar. So when you go and visit that church, perhaps for Mass or adoration, greet your angel. Say hello. Now, remember not to give it a silly name, but greet your angel and invite their intercession. Maybe you have a family member that's sick. Ask them to go before God the Father to heal your family member or to help you. Saint Teresa warns that the devil wants us to abandon prayer, especially today. I become so sad sometimes thinking how many men and women and young adults and teens have no sense of prayer in their lives, no sense of formation or prayer. Devotion to the angels is often the missing link in our spiritual lives. The good angels, my friends, carry our prayers to God. Did you know that? That's in Revelations 8, verses 3 and 4. This is not something I'm making up for this lovely broadcast. It's in Revelations 8, verses 3 to 4. The holy angels prompt us to pray grace before meals. Oh, that's a whole other program. I remember Father Jason Kozinski. We did a program on that a few years ago about the power of praying grace before meals. Thank you, God, that we have the ability to eat and that we have food. To pray before going to sleep, do what we talked about last week, the examination of conscience. Go over the sins of the day. Go over the acts of love that you forgot to give, that perhaps you walked away, you were not charitable. And to pray, to seek God's grace before a test. That's right. You're not asking for that bad guy to give you the answers to the test or the lottery numbers, but you pray, can you help me with the test? You ask God to help you and the good angels to pray for the sick, to offer a prayer when we hear a siren. How many of us, my husband and I talk about this all the time. We were raised when we heard an ambulance or siren going by, we would say a Hail Mary and pray for that person. Or if we passed a church, we would say a prayer. Do you do that? Can you restart that beautiful tradition again in your family, tell them the story of learning that, of how your children were taught that. Let's get that going again. And just to simply pray with love to God. Lord Jesus, I love you. I praise you. I thank you. You don't have to be on your knees for 20 hours. You just simply raise your hands or just cup your hands and say, I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Or open up the sacred scriptures. I always recommend the Psalms to my grandchildren because some of the other scriptures are a little hard for them, but they get the Psalms. Their reminders help us to form the good habit of prayer that St. Teresa talks about. Now, in forming the practice of prayer in our life, guess what? Is prayer to the angels themselves, the good angels, not that hocus pocus karma angel, not the crazy angels that flit around, the little fairy angels and all that. Prayer to our guardian angel and to the archangels, it's especially important. Now, I have a book at home. Someone gave it to me, and I could not tell you who it was. Adrian von Speer. I remember picking it up and saying, whoa, this is just way too heavy for me, years ago. And I picked it up again, and she wrote, assuring us that a Christian is never alone in temptation. What? A Christian is never alone in temptation? Angels are always present to help us, whether we see them or not. And they can take on various tangible forms, such as good thoughts or the strength to resist. And the angels are close by, like coaches in prayer, who comfort and strengthen us in our prayer life. Now, the angels love when we make the sign of the cross. Make the sign of the cross right now, wherever you're at. It's a simple, powerful prayer dating back to the earliest days of Christianity. That's where we cast away the devil. Did you know that? And the bad angels making the sign of the cross. Now, a lot of times we see sports players making the sign of the cross and looking up to heaven like, thank you, Jesus, for that football touchdown or whatever. And that's okay because they really are thanking Jesus. Prayer and devotion to our patron saints, so St. Matthew, St. Michael, St. Lucy, St. Anne, St. John. It's another key recourse for protection from evil. Did you know that? St. Joseph is a particularly powerful patron in our struggle against evil. Did you know that one of his titles is Terror of Demons? I've heard that a few times, especially from my grandson who's choosing Joseph as his confirmation name. And he prayed about it, and I said, do you understand the power of that name? And he looked at me. No, just thought it was a nice name. But St. Joseph, one of his titles is Terror of Demons. So praying with scripture is a strong protection against the repeated attacks of the devil. Now the Psalms, especially in the Liturgy of the Hours, are recited to confound the demons and to neutralize their efforts to the soul. We find verses in sacred scripture that we can use to remind us of the victory of Christ and to drive away the assault of the devil. For example, how many of us know Psalm 9, verse 7? The foe is destroyed, eternally ruined. Or Psalm 119, verse 115. Depart from me, you wicked, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Take a deep breath. One of the devil's tricks is to make time compete with prayer. Yep, he makes your time compete with your prayer life. And how many of us get caught up in that? As we draw close to to the angelic witness at the empty tomb and labor in the field of ministry in our beautiful church. We're most likely going to experience even further persecution. Trust me, we know this. We now turn to the example of the Acts of the Apostles. The angel, I'm quoting from Psalm 34, verses 8, the angel of the Lord encamps around us and encamps around those who fear him, and he saves them. That's Psalm 34, verse 8. I hope you have the chance to write some of these sacred scriptures down, because the angels are mentioned throughout the sacred scriptures. Now, I'm going to share a story with you. Oh, maybe 30-some years ago, someone I knew who was very sick, and I asked for the St. Raphael oil. Many of you who are listening may know of that oil. And I had heard about it, that St. Raphael had very powerful gifts of healing. And I asked for this oil for this sick person, and it was sent to me, and I was so grateful, so, so grateful. And I still have it, actually. I still have it. I can't think of the name of the priest up in the Boston area right now who died. And I had that oil, Raphael's oil. And actually, another friend of mine who is an exorcist priest mentioned it in praying for someone who was very sick, and the person was just very rooted in darkness. And he said, go get Raphael's oil. And I'm thinking, well, I have it in my medicine cabinet. That's something from the past. And then, no, it isn't. Raphael's oil is very, very powerful. And I ask that you call upon St. Michael today, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael in a special way for your family. Whatever your needs are today, if you're just tuning in, getting in your car from work, or you're heading home to cook dinner, or you are cooking dinner, or you're sitting alone in a nursing home, you are not alone. The good angels surround you. The good angels surround you. And the Lord Jesus wants us to talk to them, to pray to them to help us, and to understand that they are messengers of light. We also need to be keenly aware, as I shared a little earlier, about the New Age angels that are the fallen angels. They're the bad angels that deliver lies and illusions and deception. And the person who says, let's do a karma cleansing, and mentions even the word karma, walk away gently with love. And also the worship of workshops on angels that are not in your church. And the angel cards that are similar to horoscopes, where they play them out and almost like a sorcerer. And this is your angel. Somebody who says, I know the name of your angel. Stay away. Stay away. Because it had to be 35 years ago in a particular prayer group. And I was very naive at the time. I remember a beautiful woman actually saying she could see and hear the name of individuals, angels. Well, I was naive at that time, and I don't think I even had that name given to me, thank God. But there are still people today who are good people who really think that they are given the name of your angel, and they are not. And you don't have to name your angel. We need to only know the angels of the sacred scriptures. Now, I also want to share with you a chaplet that Father James Blunt introduced my husband and I to probably 6 or 7 years ago. We try to pray this every day, and that's the chaplet of St. Michael. You can look it up. It goes through all the levels of angels, and you're praying for St. Michael to protect you. And every time you receive Holy Communion, the angels, the good angels, accompany you to receive Holy Communion. Very, very powerful. Sometimes we forget because it is a little long, but we pray to St. Michael all the time. But I want to encourage you to look it up. I don't have it with me to read on the air today because I would have to come off my phone in order to read it. But you can look it up, the Chaplet of St. Michael. And there are 9 paragraphs associated with the Chaplet of St. Michael. He highly recommended this. And when you pray this on your deathbed, the good angels will surround you. And also, when you receive Holy Communion, the good angels will accompany you to receive Holy Communion. Now, I want to also tell you that a lot of times after we've done, my husband and I are finished praying this, and when we go to Mass, my husband and I are given the consecrated host, which to me is the greatest sign from heaven, to receive the consecrated host that was split in half for my husband and I. And it's a great, great blessing and just brings such joy to our hearts. But every host is consecrated during the Mass. So I encourage you again, if you're just tuning in, the Chaplet of St. Michael is very, very powerful. See, there are so many things that we need to learn about that there really isn't even enough time in a radio broadcast to carry or to share all the beautiful fruits, the beautiful books that people have written. But in order to have a good and holy prayer life, we need to understand the power of our prayer life and the role of good angels and the role of the bad angels who tempt us to not participate in the sacraments, who tempt us into disunity, who tempt us with the spirit of pride, who tempt us with this karma thing and divination and the angel cards and all the New Age stuff that's out there. There are some very, very famous people on television who act like they say, oh, my angels are with me. Oh, no, they're not. I can't judge someone, but the way they live, the way they talk, they're not talking about the good angels or the angels that lead us to Jesus Christ. So be very careful and discerning when you're talking about these angels or even buying figurines and things like that. Just be very careful and understand that angels are in charge of everything, of earth, water, air, fire, all the elements. And they're also used as instruments to regulate the movements of the animals, the plants, the stars, and even the heavens. Now, if you know and read St. Augustine, he agrees and says every visible thing in this world has an angelic power placed over it. That's right, St. Augustine said that. Every visible thing in this world has an angelic power placed over it. The ministries of earth, the many departments of nature, are allotted to the heavenly virtues, fountains, rivers, winds, forests, plants, living creatures of land and sea, whose functions harmonize together by the angels directing them all to a common end. What is that common end? Jesus Christ. Yep, they work within the physical, natural world to carry out God's purposes and to convey his plan to us. They administer creation in such a way that in the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. Now, tonight, open Romans 1, verses 20. Invisible attributes are clearly seen. The angels see that God created human beings, that's us, in his image and likeness, and that it's their task to make known to human beings like us the saving mysteries of Christ. And that's Hebrews 1, verses 14. The angels are down to earth for our sake. And this, my friends, is a wonderful gift from God. This is why this program is so important, not just this program, but to break open the sacred scriptures. Break open tonight the things that are mentioned tonight. Someone else has taken note that human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. And guess what? Another angel has taken note of the saving mysteries of Christ and the humility of God. That name is Lucifer. He has held the astounding beauty of our creation and the marvel of our sciences. And his response and that of the angels who side with him is down to earth in a far different way, my friends, from that of the good and holy angels. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to open our eyes to the beauty of the faith that he has given all of us. So if you're coming out of a casino, you're in an adulterous affair, you're losing your company, if you're in a sick bed in a hospital right now listening, our God is merciful. He wants you to experience the good angels in your life, not all this nonsense that's being preached on TV, not all this nonsense that is taking us away from the love and mercy of God the Father. We need to stand up, as we shared last week, with the examination of conscience. Before we go to bed, ask our good angels to be with us, to guard us, to protect us. And as I shared last week, if you have a hard time sleeping and you pray, oh, I pray for my good angel, my guardian angel, to be with me as I sleep, put on Gregorian chant, as Father James Blunt said, and four other exorcists who have shared. Put it on your phone. You can download it on Alexa, on your phone. Any Catholic, Benedictine, Blessed Mother, Gregorian chant, it will put you right to sleep, and you'll be protected by the good angels. See, there's great power in the Gregorian chant. And when I first heard about this, I thought it was a little strange, a little quirky. But the Lord Jesus Christ has perfectly shown this to me, of the power of Gregorian chant in bringing his holiness to my heart, and the examination of conscience in the middle of the night, even awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning for divine mercy. So, my friends, I pray that this program touched your heart in a special way. And I pray that when it's rebroadcast, that it touches another heart. I'm never concerned about the numbers. I'm concerned about the one person this program is supposed to touch. And I ask that you all pray for me to hear the will of the Lord in my heart, to know what it is that he wants of me going forth. And for, of course, this amazing Catholic radio network, In His Sign Catholic Radio. I ask that you please continue to support it, because it is a volunteer network. And I ask that you please surround it with your prayer life, as Kathleen and all the people who work with her and pray with her, pray for your intentions. So until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and God bless you. Amen.